From NPR News, this is special coverage of the Florida primary. I'm Robert Siegel. They are still counting the votes in Florida, but we have winners, John McCain on the Republican side and Hillary Clinton for the Democrats, though that win does not earn her any delegates. This hour, we're going to hear what the candidates are saying to their supporters and what our reporters are hearing from the campaigns. We'll also hear from political observers on what to make of tonight's results. And we'll begin with the Republican winner, John McCain. NPR's Greg Allen is at McCain headquarters in Miami, where Greg, the senator, has finished addressing his supporters. And he drew attention to the fact that this was not a landslide victory over Mitt Romney.
He was very gracious, but I guess it's easy to be gracious when you're the winner. He was very gracious toward Romney and also toward Huckabee, saying they both offered a lot to the campaign. But he was very clear that he felt that he's going to win Super Tuesday and he'll be the nominee shortly after that.
The people who were on the podium with him, very prominently behind him, was the governor of Florida and also Senator Mel Martinez of Florida. These are people who came across with big endorsements for him.
That's true, and it's hard to know really whether those might have made the difference. It's very possible. It was Charlie Crist is a very popular governor here. A lot of people thought he was going to stay on the fence and not endorse anyone. And the last moment, he came down and endorsed Senator McCain over the weekend. That surprised the Romney campaign and others, and it really seems like it might have had an effect here. And, of course, Senator Mel Martinez, the top-ranking Cuban-American official in the state, he's very well thought of here, and that probably had an impact as well.
One thing that must make the McCain camp feel good about this is how many voters in the presidential primary said the economy was their greatest concern and how many of them voted for him.
That's true, Robert. And I was out talking to people today, and everyone mentioned the economy. But many of those people also said they were voting for John McCain. So, and Mitt Romney very much over the last couple of weeks here in Florida tried to make it a debate about economic credentials, saying that John McCain did not have the credentials and that he, Mitt Romney, did. Apparently, voters didn't care so much. They know the economy is important, but they believe that Senator McCain can also be a good steward of the economy.
Okay, Greg, thank you. We're going to go over now to Mitt Romney's headquarters in St. Petersburg, Florida, and Scott Horsley. Scott, Governor Romney addressed his supporters. How did he frame this second-place finish to John McCain?
Well, it was interesting. It wasn't really a concession speech. It was a preview of what we can expect in the next week as they campaign in the 21 Republican contest coming up next Tuesday. And the message I think that Mitt Romney will be sending is that Washington is broken and that John McCain is too much of a Washington insider to fix it. I mentioned earlier tonight there was a big banner here at his return watching party that said economic turnaround. There's another big banner that says Washington is broken. And since the economic turnaround message perhaps gave him a second place finish, maybe he'll be stressing the Washington is broken message. Washington's broken a message from here on.
Now, by virtue of winning, McCain got all 57 Republican delegates in Florida. And we should explain that while the Democrats have banned winner-take-all primaries, there are some on the Republican side. So Mitt Romney doesn't get anything in Florida. Is he pointing toward any particular state, or do his people look at any particular state next Tuesday in the huge Super Tuesday primary where they think he might be able to show off his stuff?
Well, it was interesting tonight. He pointedly mentioned a couple of cousins who were here working for him in Florida, one from California, one from Colorado. Those are both February 5th contest states, a caucus in Colorado and a primary in California. And it was Ann Romney who said that this is very much a starting point for the campaign, not an ending point. And Mitt Romney certainly hinted that he is willing to continue to dig into his own pocketbook to finance his campaign. He outspent John McCain and out-advertised him about 10-1 here in Florida. We're going to find out later this week just how much of his own money he spent on the campaign. But he shows no signs of easing up on the personal spending in the next week.
Okay, Scott, thanks a lot. Scott Horsley, who's been covering the Romney campaign in Florida and in St. Petersburg at his primary night headquarters. Robert Smith has been with the Giuliani campaign. They're in Orlando. And, Robert, did I have this right? Rudy Giuliani didn't actually withdraw from the race when he addressed his supporters, but he talked about his campaign in the past tense throughout.
He certainly talked about it in the past tense, and it was significant what he did not talk about. He didn't talk about California, New Jersey, Connecticut, the kind of states that he would talk about if he were going to actively campaign for Super Tuesday. Now, his aides have confirmed to me that he is going to travel to California tomorrow, and the Associated Press is reporting that he's going to endorse John McCain for the presidency tomorrow.
presumably then would not take part in the debate this week in California.
That would, he had said earlier today that he wanted to take part in the debate, but if this deal is done, as the Associated Press is reporting, no, I would not expect that he would be in the debate. You know, it's funny because I've just been reading his book, Leadership, his biography, and he talked in this book about wanting to endorse John McCain when John McCain last ran for the presidency, and instead Rudy Giuliani endorsed George Bush, and although he didn't feel bad about that, he felt like he had sort of betrayed his friend. And so if indeed he endorses John McCain, it's sort of a second chance for Rudy Giuliani to make up for last time.
Well, McCain, in his victory speech to his supporters in Miami, was very gracious to everyone who'd been in the race. Well, not everyone, didn't mention Ron Paul, I don't think, but he was gracious to Huckabee and Romney, positively gushing, though, about Rudy Giuliani when he spoke of him. So there's clearly some friendship there and some...
Yeah, it was the same way Rudy Giuliani had nice things to say about John McCain tonight. And this is very, very significant, Giuliani said nice things about Ron Paul. Ron Paul, who has more delegates than Rudy Giuliani has at this point. But also there's been this sort of a little bit of a feud as they competed for fifth and sixth place. But he pointed out Ron Paul, and he kind of gave a tip of the hat to Ron Paul.
Okay. Thank you, Robert. NPR's Robert Smith speaking to us from the Portofino Bay Hotel at Universal Orlando in Orlando, Florida. He was covering headquarters for Rudy Giuliani on this evening of the vote count in the Florida primary. Joining me now in the studio are our regular political observers, E.J. Dionne of the Brookings Institution, columnist at the Washington Post, and David Brooks, columnist for the New York Times. Hi, guys.
Hi, you.
Big McCain win here in Florida, E.J. Is there really any serious obstacle to John McCain right now from getting the Republican nomination?
Well, there's Mitt Romney's money and the fact that there are a lot of conservatives who still don't like John McCain. He won with his classic coalition, independents, moderates, anti-Bush voters, pro-choice voters, even though he is pro-life. He won a huge Hispanic margin over Mitt Romney. So the immigration issue, which Romney wanted to work for him, may have actually helped McCain a little bit. But McCain has a lot of advantages he's never had in his past races. The establishment is beginning to fall into line behind him. In Florida, he had Governor Charlie Crist, Senator Mel Martinez. The money is going to come into play. And he's starting to raise money. And right away, if Giuliani gets out of this race, McCain can probably count on New York, New Jersey, Connecticut. You may have a giant showdown in California. If I were to guess, Mitt Romney is going to take a stand in California and try to beat McCain there.
You agree with that, David?
I do. I think Mitt Romney's money now gets diluted because the field is so big. And McCain has all the momentum. And what we saw tonight was him beginning to play to the right. And I think what the right needs in order to capitulate is a show of respect. And he began to give that tonight. And I think over the next couple of days, he will show respect for the right, even respect for Rush Limbaugh and the people who have been attacking him so savagely. And what we saw tonight was a front-runner speech. It was a consolidation speech, uniting the party behind him. And unless he loses his cool, which he could do because Mitt Romney will take one big shot at him, I think, at the end, he's probably he's cruising.
He has to answer criticism that he's capable of losing his cool. I mean, this is Romney. The Romney campaign made something of a character issue out of this, that McCain has a temper. He's not always in control of himself.
There are times he can be combative. He can be especially combative in the Senate. He's the sort of guy who doesn't like being hemmed in by any organization. This was true in the Naval Academy. It was true in prison. It was also true in the Senate, and that is his independence. But he does feud with other Republicans. But that's turned out to be a virtue here because he has proven to be a straight talking. As I said, it's character that won him this, not the policy.
You know, one of his longtime aides said, or somebody who had worked for him in the past said, you know, John McCain is never good running as a front runner. He's only good when he's running behind. This is the real test for John McCain. I mean, he is twice resurrected when you think about it. He lost in 2000 in a very tough race against President Bush, and he was written off this summer. And he came alive once his formal organization fell apart. Mm-hmm. When he ran out of money, he went back to that style, the bus in New Hampshire and all of that. He's never been tested to the degree he's going to be tested in the next week. And the one thing we know about Mitt Romney is he is extremely well organized and he's very tough and he'll say what he needs to say to win this primary. So McCain is appealing to the right because that's the only opening Mitt Romney has and that's the one he's going to take.
Let's have a minute on the Democrats here. They had an odd primary where the party, the state party, was penalized for for going so early. They weren't supposed to. And so no delegates were chosen today. There was very little, if any, campaigning by Democrats in Florida, but Hillary Clinton won handily. You make anything of it or nothing of it, David?
Well, I think it does remind us that in the big states on Super Tuesday, she begins the race with big leads in California and New York and all around the country. So she still, I think, is the front runner in the race. But it's not dispositive because they didn't campaign, there was no turnout to vote, and that means two groups in particular just didn't come out to vote in the numbers they would have otherwise. And those are young people and African Americans, groups Barack Obama does extremely well at. Seniors did come out, and that's the group Hillary Clinton does well in. So I don't think it really tells us that much about the race.
EJ, do you see anything in the Democratic result that's worth noting here?
Well, Hillary Clinton got clobbered in South Carolina, so she decided, well, there's this thing going on in Florida. I'm going to make something of it, even though nothing was happening there. But, you know, if Super Tuesday is a big test for McCain, it's also a big test for Obama. He has been quite successful when he could campaign and organize intensely. He had a great organization in South Carolina. He's got people on the ground in a lot of these states. He's counting on caucus victories. She is, in a certain way, a front runner. But I think the dynamic changed a lot this week, and those Kennedy endorsements after the South Carolina victory, I think, fundamentally changed this race.
When you guys come back at the end of this hour, I want to hear from you your thoughts about February 5th, about Super Tuesday. But you can't draw an experience here because we've never experienced anything like it, what's going to happen next week. It's the biggest primary we've ever seen.
It's not as if we've been so right in the season so far.
How many opportunities to be wrong we'll have.
I won't hold that against you. E.J. Dionne of The Washington Post and David Brooks of The New York Times, thanks to both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Again, the news, John McCain, the winner in the Republican presidential primary in Florida, running about 5 points ahead of Mitt Romney, 36% to 31%. And in the Democratic primary, in which no delegates were awarded, Hillary Clinton won handily over Barack Obama. You're listening to special coverage of the 2008 Florida primary from NPR News. From NPR News, this is special coverage of the Florida primary. I'm Robert Siegel. John McCain is the winner of tonight's Republican primary, with Mitt Romney about 5 points behind. Rudolph Giuliani and Mike Huckabee are vying for third. Giuliani will fly to California tomorrow, and he will reportedly throw his support there behind John McCain. McCain spoke to his supporters in Miami a short while ago.
Thank you, thank you. Thank you, Florida Republicans, for bringing a former Florida resident across the finish line first.
The senator from Arizona had kind words for his opponents, congratulating each of them on a hard-fought campaign in Florida. And then he promised to go on to beat them again on Super Duper Tuesday next week.
My friends, in one week, we will have as close to a national primary as we've ever had in this country. I intend to win it and be the nominee of our party.
And Senator McCain spoke of his reasons for running for the White House.
I stand for the principles and policies that first attracted me to the Republican Party when I heard in whispered conversations and tap codes about the then governor of California, who stood by me and my comrades, and who was making quite a reputation for standing by his convictions no matter the changing political winds or thought in popular culture. When I left the Navy and entered public life, I enlisted as a foot soldier in the political revolution he began. And I am as proud today to be a Republican conservative as I was then. I trust in the courage, good sense, resourcefulness, and decency of the American people, who deserve a government that trusts in their qualities as well and doesn't abrogate to itself the responsibilities to do for the people what the people can and want to do for themselves. We Republicans have always known that the first responsibility of government is to keep this country safe from all enemies, foreign and domestic.
That's Senator John McCain this evening. NPR senior Washington editor Ron Elving is with us, and John McCain's going to pick up a big endorsement tomorrow, it seems, Ron.
Yes, Rudy Giuliani will acknowledge the end of his own presidential ambitions and endorse those of John McCain. And Robert, I believe we've just heard the end of John McCain's career as an insurgent.
He's now the front runner.
He is now the front runner and possibly about to begin a career as a nominee.
How about that? John McCain, the winner in the Florida primary today. We're going to hear now from a supporter of Barack Obama. We're going to talk about Democrats for a moment. Senator John Kerry of Massachusetts, who was, of course, the Democratic candidate for president in 2004. And on January 10th, he endorsed his fellow senator, Barack Obama. Welcome to the program.
Good evening.
Senator Kerry.
Glad to be with you.
You've got a primary coming up in Massachusetts next week on February 5th. Can Barack Obama win it?
Well, we'll have to wait and see. He's coming from behind. There's no question about that. Hillary Clinton has been the front runner up there, and she's been quite far ahead. But I think the effort of the last weeks, the big win in South Carolina, the momentum built, Senator Kennedy's endorsement yesterday, Caroline Kennedy's endorsement, I think people are really beginning to see. More importantly, here's what I think is happening. You had Kathleen Sebelius, the governor of Kansas, endorse him today. You had previously former governor of Nebraska, now Senator Ben Nelson. You've got the two senators, Democratic senators from the Dakotas, North and South Dakota. You've got Janet Napolitano, the governor of Red State, Arizona, who endorsed him. You've got Claire McCaskill of Missouri. And you have the governor of Virginia, who when asked, can a Democrat win Virginia, he said the right Democrat.
Mm-hmm.
And then he endorsed Barack Obama. So I think you're seeing this sense that Barack Obama is inspiring people. He's proven ability to bring Democrats and independents and Republicans together. And he's bringing a whole generation of young people back to the task of governing and of believing again. And I really believe that, you know, it's possible, but it's certainly uphill. There's momentum, and we hope it'll come across the line.
I want to ask you about what the Republicans did in Florida. You know, when Mitt Romney wants to impugn John McCain's credentials as a Republican conservative, he says he was even thinking about being John Kerry's running mate in 2004.
Well,
have Republican voters discovered what you knew, that this is a very strong political candidate for national office?
Sure. I think they are discovering that. I gather that a very large percentage of the people polled tonight indicated they thought he was the person who had the best chance of winning. So they're making a pretty practical kind of choice, in some cases swallowing belief in favor of pragmatism. I think that, again, if you look at Barack Obama, if you look at the two leading candidates, I believe Barack Obama presents a starker, clearer, more, invigorating choice for the Democratic Party and for the country.
Is Hillary Clinton a potentially weak candidate for the Democratic Party?
I think, look, the primaries are going to decide that in the next days. She's a strong candidate. She's a capable candidate. She's a very capable senator, and I like her, and I respect her. And I think that, she's got great abilities, obviously, and a lot of assets. I just happen to believe that Barack Obama presents a better opportunity to unite and change in a transformational way what we've seen in the country in the last years.
Just one very quick question.
Hillary Clinton can't be a good president.
One very quick question. Is the image of a co-presidency hurting the Clinton campaign right now?
That's all process stuff.
Uh-huh.
I can't tell you that.
All right.
What I think, I think that what rather than what's hurting someone else's campaign, I think it's important, and what I'm focused on is what's working and what's helping the campaign that I'm supporting.
The Obama campaign.
And that's, yes. And I think I was recently in South Africa, and I was at the Bali climate change talks representing the Senate there. And I have to tell you, the interest in the world in Barack Obama's candidacy is quite astonishing.
Mm-hmm.
The ability that he has, I think, to reach across the divides that have been created in these last years and present an entirely new story for America. The story of a young man who was raised by a single mother,
right,
against a lot of adverse consequences, an African-American who has the ability to reach out across any lines.
You found it was compelling race to people overseas.
It's a big deal.
Yeah. Okay.
And not just overseas, but here in this country. I mean, who better, I think, to be able to help heal wounds in our inner cities and in rural communities where there's a divide between rich and poor and haves and have-nots and people who get a good school and don't, and kids who are left behind versus those who get opportunity. I think Barack Obama can really reach out in an extraordinary way to help bring the country together.
Well, Senator Kerry, thank you very much for talking with us.
Thank you.
John Kerry, a supporter of Barack Obama this year, and now a supporter of John McCain, Governor Tim Pawlenty of Minnesota, who joins us from St. Paul. Did you hear Senator John McCain describe himself very proudly as a Reagan Republican? He's been telling people in Florida he's a conservative. Is that what you need to hear in Minnesota for a Republican candidate to be competitive?
Well, Robert, John McCain has got so many strengths, but amongst those, his epic life story. Newsweek magazine said that his character has been tested in ways that other politicians can only imagine. This is an individual who's going to win the war in Iraq. He's going to keep a lid on spending, and he's going to beat Hillary Clinton or Barack Obama. Those are things that I think all Republicans can get excited about, but he is a proud Reagan conservative, and his record and his words reflect that. And that Reagan legacy plays well with Minnesota Republicans as it does Republicans across the whole country.
He is going to campaign certainly about the war in Iraq, but it seems like voters now really want to hear about the economy. Does that take a bit of the shine off of the McCain candidacy when he has to campaign more about the economy than about defense and foreign policy?
Well, clearly, if you're going to be president of the United States, you have to speak to both and other things as well. But to suggest that Senator McCain doesn't have economic experience or background, I don't think is a fair or full description of his strengths. I mean, this is an individual who has chaired the Commerce Committee in the United States Senate, has been deeply involved in economic policy issues. You're going back to the era of the Reagan tax cuts and the Reagan Revolution. He was one of the foot soldiers and ultimate leaders in the economic policy that was the Reagan Revolution. I think a lot of people understand that government has to live within its means, just like families and small businesses and others have to do. And so his commitment to keeping a lid on spending and forcing the federal government finally to live within its means, I think, is an attractive economic premise, and it's one of his central tenets of the campaign.
You know, the Democrats in Florida didn't campaign. There was no get-out-the-vote effort. There wasn't television to speak of. Hillary Clinton got more votes than anybody else on the ballot today. And actually, Barack Obama came in, you know, within 25,000-30,000 votes of Mitt Romney, the second-place Republican finisher. Do you think the Democrats at this point actually really have the enthusiasm on their side?
Well, there's always, in terms of Republican versus Democrat grassroots enthusiasm and turnout at these early stages, I think history would reflect that Democrats often have, you know, the early stage indicators of enthusiasm or turnout, but it doesn't later turn out to affect the general election that much. I think the same may be true here, perhaps to a certain degree. But you also have to remember that John McCain, the Republicans, the Mike Huckabee, Rudy Giuliani, the others have a four- or five-way race. It's a little more difficult to consolidate that energy, to consolidate enthusiasm when you're competing and splitting it five or six ways than when you're just essentially splitting it two ways.
And Minneapolis is hosting the Republican National Convention in September. Wouldn't it be great if it would be the first convention in decades that went beyond the first ballot and it wasn't all decided easily? Wouldn't that be thrilling for you?
Well, Robert, it would be a lot of fun. It's the Minneapolis-St. Paul Greater Twin Cities region, but it would be a lot of fun. It would be interesting, but I think you'll see with the win tonight in Florida, Senator McCain's strong position in places like New York, New Jersey, and California, that his leadership position is going to be consolidated pretty much after Super-Duper Tuesday, and he's going to be the presumptive nominee fairly shortly.
Governor Pawlenty, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Governor Tim Pawlenty of Minnesota, a supporter of Senator John McCain. Our Adam Davidson joins us now from New York. Adam covers the economy. And Adam, the economy seems to have been what the Florida primaries turned out to be about, after all.
Yeah, the exit polls are pretty clear on this, that the economy was far and away the number one issue. Now, here's what's really strange. You might think that that means Romney should have won, because Romney has been touting his economic credentials, touting his experience as a businessman, as a business consultant, as an economic man. And we think of McCain when we think of him more in a military, national security, foreign affairs way. But McCain edged out Romney in voters who are concerned about the economy, which that's a surprise.
Yeah, Romney says something that, it infuriates the McCain camp, I believe, when he talks about how he has spent his life in the real economy. And I believe that Senator McCain and his supporters would say that being in the Navy is real, and being in Congress may not be, but being in the Navy certainly was. Romney, the businessman, didn't seem to catch fire with people, for that very reason alone, at least.
Yeah, I think what I don't know if speaking in code is too strong, but I think what Romney, there are movement Republican economic conservatives who have spent years despising John McCain. I mean, really, I find it amazing when I talk to some libertarians, some Reagan supply side economics folks, the level of passion they feel against John McCain. And part of it, I think that real economy crack is a way of saying, well, sure, McCain says he's a Republican, but he's in Washington and he voted against the Bush tax cut. He voted with Ted Kennedy for mandatory health care insurance for some people. He's voted on other liberal economic issues. I mean, this is the tone I mm-hmm. hear. And so I saw something in the exit polls that I found really interesting, which is people who think the economy is doing just fine voted for Romney. People who think the economy is in real trouble voted for McCain. And I don't know if this is right, but it made me think that those movement Republicans, the people who just despise McCain, tend to be people who are okay even though there's a recession, there's credit problems, there's housing problems. They still believe the market will solve those problems. And so maybe they're not feeling the passion. You were just talking about passion that McCain supporters do.
Perhaps that's it. Adam, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Adam Davidson speaking to us from our New York Bureau. The biggest show next week on February 5th is going to be in California. NPR's Ina Jaffe is at NPR West. You've got a big primary, a couple of them coming up. They're really big primaries.
We absolutely do, and it's the first time that California will be voting when it still counts. It's been a frustration in the state for a long time, and I really sense a lot of energy about this just wherever I go, whether it's the grocery store or out to dinner or wherever it is. It's all people talk about.
Yeah, we should explain that California very often has a primary, used to have a primary somewhere late in May, and it's all settled by that time. So half the candidates have dropped out, and the result is pretty much understood by that time. Not this year.
No, and they kept moving it up, and it still was never enough.
The two primaries in California have significantly different rules, certainly about independent voters, I gather.
Yes. Independent voters are allowed to vote, welcome to vote in the Democratic primary. That's got to be good news for Barack Obama. They just have to walk into their polling place and ask for a Democratic ballot. The Republicans decided that in their presidential primary, they would not allow independents to vote. They felt that nominating the leader of their party should be up to members of the party and not up to independents. They're also concerned that there might be what they call mischief voting, that in certain congressional districts, because they award their delegates by congressional district, where there are a lot of independents, they might vote for somebody they thought would be a weaker candidate in the fall.
Very briefly, because I have to get on to something, but what do the polls say right now in California about who's ahead?
Right now, the very latest poll that has come out is from the Los Angeles Times. It puts in the Democratic contest Hillary Clinton up by 17 points over Barack Obama. And on the Republican side, it puts John McCain up by 13 points over Mitt Romney.
Ina Jaffe at NPR West. Thanks a lot.
You're welcome.
Mitt Romney took second today in the Florida primary. And in his concession speech, he reiterated his determination to change Washington.
Our government is spending too much. We're using too much oil. Our health care system leaves a lot of people behind. And our schools are failing way too many. And even our values are under attack. We've looked to Washington for leadership, but Washington has failed us. We've asked them to fix illegal immigration. They haven't. We've asked them to get the tax burden off our families and businesses. They haven't. We asked them to end our dependence on foreign oil. They haven't. We asked them to maintain high ethical standards. They haven't. We asked them to fix Social Security. They haven't. We asked them to stop spending money on pork barrel projects. We asked them to balance our budget. They haven't. We asked them time and time and time again, and they just haven't gotten the job done. You see, Washington is fundamentally broken. And we're not going to change Washington by sending the same people back just to sit in different chairs.
Mitt Romney addressing his supporters earlier. Romney came in second to John McCain in the Republican primary. Ron Elving, Mitt Romney there engaging some some responsa there with his crowd. It sounded pretty energetic.
And very typical of his events, because lately he has been doing this back and forth, call and respond about Washington and how it's failed. His theme has become Washington is broken. He's running against Washington, not unlike Jimmy Carter, Ronald Reagan, Bill Clinton.
Yeah,
we've seen this again and again, but maybe this is the year that it isn't working, at least not for this particular
one. The argument will be John McCain, whom I'm running against in the primary, and Senators Clinton and Obama, these are all creatures of Washington.
They're senators.
My life has been made in Boston, in Salt Lake at the Olympics, and as governor of Massachusetts, I'm not of that. I'm not of that ilk.
He's from the real economy, and he has the real economy in his DNA. And these lines were really, it seemed, working and resonating in Florida over the last several days. But when he said them all again tonight in his speech, he did not seem to have quite the same fire.
Do we have any idea how much money of his own Mitt Romney has spent on this campaign?
Well, we knew there were $17 million. Mm-hmm. We knew that back in December. We know that there have been many more millions of dollars spent since then. And we should learn, I believe, on Friday of this week, just exactly how many of his millions he has shared with the campaign so far. And, of course, there are going to have to be many more.
You mean Friday this week, because we're at the end of... We're at the end of the month. There's a report, or is it?
There was a report that had to be filed as of December 31st, mm-hmm. and is only now becoming fully public. The campaign has chosen not to share it with us.
Okay. Ron Elving talking about Mitt Romney today in the Florida primary. He ran second to John McCain in the Democratic race, which was unofficial to the extent that no delegates were awarded. Hillary Clinton ran first, well ahead of Barack Obama. You're listening to special coverage of the 2008 Florida primary. From NPR News. From NPR News, this is special coverage of tonight's primary election in Florida. I'm Robert Siegel. John McCain won the Republican primary in Florida. Hillary Clinton, the big winner in the Democratic primary, in which no delegates were at stake because of Florida's decision to hold the primary this early. But joining us by phone from Davie, Florida, is Senator Clinton. Welcome to the program.
Hello, Robert. How are you tonight?
Fine. You've won big in a primary in which no delegates were at stake. First of all, as the season progresses, do you intend to make a case that Florida delegates should be awarded, even though the rules were there wouldn't be any?
I have, Robert. I've said that if I am the nominee, I will work to convince my delegates and others to seat the Florida and the Michigan delegates, because I believe we've got to recognize the extraordinary turnout in both states, particularly here in Florida, where despite the fact that it could have been very discouraging, hundreds of thousands of Democrats voted before today by absentee, and hundreds of thousands more. It's a tremendous tribute that the people of Florida take this election so seriously, and it's important for Democrats to do everything we can to win Florida. It's a battleground state. It's essential for any strategy going forward to try to win back the White House.
The turnout in the Democratic primary was bigger today than it's been in the past two cycles for the Democrats, but this is the unusual primary in which more people took part in the Republican race. Some would say that's because there wasn't real competitive get-out-the-vote activity or a real competitive advertising that would have made a real contest out of it.
I think that the Republicans spent an enormous amount of money here in the state trying to convince voters and turn them out to the polls. And the Democrats, of course, we didn't. We, with the exception of, Senator Obama's national TV buy that actually went into Florida, none of us did anything. And I think that's a real tribute to Democrats that despite the fact, maybe it says something, Robert, about our campaigns. If we leave people alone, they will show up. And sometimes when we bombard them with all the advertising and the phone calls, they might just say, enough already.
Senator, I want to ask you about your campaign. Over the past week, there have probably been about 9,000 columns written in America about the role of President Clinton in your campaign. And of the 9,000, I think 8,999 were critical of his role in your campaign. Is he going to take a different role in the campaign, and how can you conceptualize for us what his position is and how you see him as a member of a Clinton administration?
Well, first of all, let me say that I am proud to have his support, and he does a lot in trying to promote my candidacy and represent me around the country. And I know that many Americans realize that when he was in the White House, he got up every day and worked hard for them and, you know, produced real results. So this is an important part of my campaign. But it is my campaign, and I take responsibility for it.
But you must notice the reference to the Clintons, almost eclipsing references to Senator Hillary Clinton over the past 2 weeks.
Well, but Robert, I think that I'm making it very clear that this is my campaign. I take responsibility for it. If anything that any of us said or did gave offense, then obviously I regret that and apologize for it. But I think that this election is about the future, and it's about, you know, what we're going to do as president. And I'm very proud of the record of the Clinton administration. You know, there
are people who hear you say, what
people who, you know, really did so much better then. And I want to be the same kind of president who's a champion for people in the White House.
When you said what we're going to do as president, you meant you're not saying what Bill Clinton and I will do as president. You're saying
I'm certainly not saying, you know, there is one president and one commander in chief. And I am running on my own merits. I am, you know, putting my case before the American people. Now, I expect to use former presidents, including my husband, to help us repair a lot of the damage that has been done to our leadership and standing in the world. I think that's to the betterment of our country our future.
But just very briefly, were journalists correct in detecting a slight change in tone, a very conscious, calculated change in tone today from President Clinton, a little bit less aggressive?
I think he wants to be effective, and I think he wants to make the case for me. And we each have very passionate spouses that have made a very strong presence on the campaign trail, part of the campaigns of each of us. But at the end of the day, this is about the American people, number one, and about those of us who are running to be president. And I expect to be judged on my own merits. I expect to be held accountable. And that's the kind of campaign I'm running, and that's the kind of president I will be.
Senator Clinton, thank you very much
for
talking with us once
again.
Hillary Clinton speaking to us from Davie, Florida. In the studio now, E.J. Dionne and David Brooks, our political observers. It sounds like we're going to have, from what Senator Clinton says, challenges of delegations at the convention, should it come to that. Shades of the 1960s, you know, we'll seat the Freedom Delegation from Florida here.
I was talking on Sunday with someone who had been a veteran of Democratic delegate challenges going back to 1980, and we were talking about this, and I looked at him, I said, you're going to be back in business. I mean, this could be, if this race stays very close, a classic fight akin to Eisenhower-Taft that we all covered back in 1952, or, you know, the 1980 challenge to... Yes.
Yeah, Ron Elving is here, too. Let's get Ron's microphone. Because he was there, yeah.
That could be a very big deal if this race stays very close. And that's what's being set up here, because she would seem to have most of those delegates. I'm not sure it'll get there. We all dream of those kinds of complexities. But this time, it's a real possibility.
We want a convention like the best man, like the one in the movie.
They're already thinking that way. I mean, all of our lifetime, basically, we've had momentum primary seasons where you win one and then you sweep. Now they really already are thinking delegate by delegate. So when you're thinking about where you advertise and where you go in California, if you're Barack Obama, you think, I got to go to the Bay Area because I got a lot of African Americans in Oakland. I've got areas in Marin County where I can do well. You might not worry about other parts of the state. You don't worry about winning the state. Mm-hmm. You worry about delegate by delegate. So they're already revamping their campaigns, and there are no consultants who are experts at this because nobody's ever done it.
But there are a lot of people who are pretty good at figuring out where the delegates are. The way they're apportioned in California, for example, could give Obama a little bit of an advantage even if he loses, because they reward Democratic performance, Democratic vote. That's going to be high in African-American districts, also in the affluent districts where Obama can be expected to do well. And he has worked very hard in the caucus states, Alaska, Colorado, Idaho, Kansas, Minnesota, New Mexico, North Dakota, Utah, I believe. No, Utah is the primary. He is going to try to paint the map with Obama colors where he may not pick up a lot of delegates, but it would create the optic of a strong performance.
This, though, as David is pointing out, we're now into the name of the game, Ron Elving, is counting delegates one by one, 10 by 10, state by state, congressional district by congressional district. And so next week on February 5th, it's been kind of hard to keep score of what's going on throughout all these primaries. One thing to say, he won this many states and she won that many states. It's the minutiae of the vote count that counts.
We'll be looking at states won and not won. We'll be looking at total number of votes cast in 22 states for the Democrats and a total of 24 states when you count the Republicans. We'll also be looking at delegates won. And in some cases, if you just hold your opponent under 60% in an even-numbered delegate district, you can get an even split. So it's going to be quite a computer calculation all night long.
And it makes it very unlikely that it's going to settle the fight on the Democratic side, because I don't think anybody can emerge from this process, given that there are no winner-take-all primaries on the Democratic side, with an overwhelming lead after February 5th.
So you think it has to go on beyond February 5th?
I think it's highly likely, extremely likely, that it goes on after February 5th.
Well, all the more evenings we can spend together talking about primaries and caucuses this year. E.J. Dionne, David Brooks, and Ron Elving, you hang in here right now, because we're going to hear at this moment from Louise Clemens about an important group in the Super Tuesday votes tomorrow, certainly in California, in New York, in New Jersey, and other states. And these are Latino voters. Luis Clemens is an editor at Candidato USA. It's a publication that focuses on Hispanic voters. Welcome to the program.
And, thank you very much.
Let's talk about Democratic primaries first. It seems to be a given nowadays that the Clinton campaign is far ahead with Latino voters. And also, there is reference made occasionally to some Latino reluctance greater than among other voters to vote for a black candidate. What do you make of those two statements?
Well, I think the first thing we can do is look at exit polls in Florida tonight, measuring Hispanic support for the various candidates. In the case of Clinton, it was 60%. In the case of Obama, 28%. And Edwards, 9%. As to the issue of whether race is a factor in that, I think the primary factor is that Hispanics know, and if you're a Hispanic Democrat, really like the Clinton. And there is widespread perception among Latino voters that they would be voting for a co-presidency, and they see that as a good thing.
They think that's positive, the idea of the co-presidency. It's not
something that scares Latino voters like it might others.
Is it because of Argentina that you're saying this? Or what is the experience that's so different among Latino voters and the co-presidency?
Well, I think clearly when you're looking at a history in Latin America of women presidents that goes back several decades, clearly that's in the back of Latino voters' minds. And more importantly, because Latinos have a very strong association in their minds with economic prosperity during the Bill Clinton presidency. And they see that the Clinton for decades have been cultivating Latino elected officials and community leaders, and they like the idea of two for one.
They like the idea of two for one. Now, just one last question. Does it beg the question here to speak of Latino voters in Florida and in California when, in fact, Latino voters in Florida are, to a great extent, not all, obviously, but to a great extent, Cuban-Americans, quite a different group from Latino voters in the Southwest or in California?
First off, I think when you talk about Latino voters, you're talking about a whole mosaic of different bits and pieces. I don't think you can talk about a Latino voter block. However, on the Democratic side in Florida, even though there are far fewer Mexican-American voters in Florida than there are in California or in the Southwest, you're not really talking about a heavily Cuban-American group.
Mm-hmm.
You really have to look at the Republican side to be talking about representing a majority of the Hispanic voters in that state in terms of Hispanic Republicans.
Well, Louise Clemens, thank you very much for talking with us once again. Louise Clemens, editor at Candidato USA, talking about Hispanic voters, Latino voters in this primary season. We've heard from a supporter of Senator Obama, John Kerry, a supporter of Senator McCain, Tim Pawlenty. We heard from Senator Clinton herself, and now we're going to hear from a supporter of Mitt Romney, and that is Babe Buchanan. What kind of a brave face can you put on a second-place finish in Florida in an election in which a lot of primary voters said they thought the economy was the biggest issue, and McCain won just the same?
Well, there's lots that happened down here that we'll have to be analyzing, but the key is this. What Florida has done, we obviously wanted to win, and I'm not going to tell you otherwise, but the key is that it's down to a two-man race. Now the Republican Party has a very clear choice as to what direction they want, what kind of nominee they want, because Governor Romney is a much different philosophical basis. He wants to take the country in a different direction entirely than the direction that Senator McCain is proposing. And so we have somebody who's a straight across the board conservative on the one hand, and on the other hand, in McCain's position, he is somebody that has fought every possible effort to move the direction the country in a conservative way. He's from Washington. We have Romney, of course, is from outside. So now that there's down to two people, Richard, each party, everybody in the country can look in the Republicans to decide, do they want a conservative standard bearer helping them move this country in the right direction when it comes to November, or do they want somebody who is going to continue the policies of the past?
But John McCain tonight, as he addressed his supporters after winning in Florida, said, I'm a conservative Republican. He talked about learning about the rise of Ronald Reagan from it being tapped out in the Hanoi Hilton when he was a prisoner of war. He's telling folks, I'm one of you. I'm a real conservative.
But I've got to explain to you, conservatives don't go to Washington and draft bills that limit our ability to speak, our freedom of speech. They don't.
McCain-Feingold, you're saying, is that?
Feingold, exactly. They don't fight middle-class tax cuts and vote against them, as he did twice. They don't propose a massive amnesty for illegal immigrants and Social Security for illegal immigrants, as he did with McCain-Kennedy. And they don't oppose a marriage amendment, which will preserve the sanctity of marriage in this country, the only way to preserve it. And they don't vote for people like Ruth Bader Ginsburg. It's quite clear the case is there. This is not a conservative. Ask Senator Santorum, one of the finest conservatives in the U.S. Senate. He said every inch of the way, as I try to pull the country together, pull the Senate together over a conservative issue, I not only had John McCain on the opposite side, he led the effort to stop us.
Well, Babe Buchanan, thank you very much.
You're certainly welcome.
Speaking with us on behalf of Mitt Romney. It was John McCain who is the big winner in Florida. He takes all 57 Republican delegates. Here's a clip of what he said to his supporters tonight.
My friends, as I said the other week in South Carolina, there's nothing in our country that is inevitable. We can overcome any challenge as long as we keep our courage and stand by the principles that have made our party and our country great. Our party has always been successful when we have, like Ronald Reagan, stood fast by our convictions. And we've only suffered when our allegiance to our principles has not been as steadfast as it should. I intend to make my stand on those principles, and I am confident we will succeed in this contest and in the bigger one in November against... bigger one against anyone the Democratic Party nominates.
John McCain in Miami this evening, speaking after his victory in the Florida Republican presidential primary. I'm Robert Siegel. With me are Ron Elving and also our regular political observers, E.J. Dionne and David Brooks. First, Ron, we've just heard two radically different takes on John McCain. McCain on McCain, I'm a conservative, I'm with you. Babe Buchanan, and this is an apostate, this is a guy who's off the reservation, this is a guy Rick Santorum couldn't get to vote with the Republicans in the Senate. Which McCain is gonna be the one Republican voters see over the next week?
Over the next week, I think John McCain will show them the one he has described, Reagan, 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 all the time, starting with tomorrow night at the Ronald Reagan Library in Simi Valley in California. And if this goes on for weeks, then we'll see that John McCain consistently for weeks. But going a longer period of time, once the nomination is John McCain's, if in fact he does win it, then we will see increasingly elements of the other John McCain, because both characterizations are correct. He is all of those things at one time or another.
David Brooks, what do you make of John McCain? Here's somebody, I mean, you've spent a lot of time writing about him and thinking about him. he'll tell you right off the bat, you know, I'm a conservative, he'll say, and he'll describe how conservative he is. What's his problem? Why is it that conservatives resist that so much?
He's a conservative. He's not a partisan. And he is fiercely independent. So sometimes he will go against Republican orthodoxy, but probably not against conservative orthodoxy, strong defense, small government. That he's solid on. But sometimes the party wants a team player, and he's not always been a team player. And that's why you've had Rush Limbaugh throwing the book at him. It's not philosophical. It's the team wing of the party versus the non-team wing. And I just recall I was with him months ago when he took the press corps out to dinner who was traveling with him, and that was me. It was just me. And there was nobody with him, and I felt like I should pay for the dinner because he had no money.
He'll joke and call the press corps his base.
It's a tremendous rise he's had over the past 6 months.
E.J. Dionne, you have the last word on John McCain and this result in Florida today.
Well, you know, it's very interesting looking forward. McCain won moderates and liberals. He got clobbered among people who call themselves very conservative, 2-1. What's interesting is he split the people who call themselves somewhat conservative. I think all he has to be is somewhat conservative enough. The other thing, half the Republican voters didn't vote at all on the issues. They voted on leadership, personal qualities, and those are the people who voted for John McCain. That's how he's going to have to play it.
E.J. Dionne, David Brooks, Ron Elving, thanks to all of you.
Thank you.
And thanks to you for listening. You have been listening to special coverage of the 2008 Florida primary from NPR News.